You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on the 7 principles for making marriage work. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on the 7 principles for making marriage work, a practical guide from the country's foremost relationship expert by John Gottman and Nan Silver. As always, let's kick it off with a quote. One of the strengths of the 7 principles approach is its versatility in addressing all stages of a relationship. This book is for you if you're single and looking to road test your relationship before making a permanent commitment. It is also for you if you've already committed and want to bolster and protect what you have. If you and your partner are facing dramatic life changes or challenges, the 7 principles will help you keep connected. Following the guidance in the pages ahead may also rescue a marriage that is already in deep danger. Of course, no relationship guide can salvage every marriage, nor is it true that every match should be saved. Sometimes negativity and betrayal so consume a relationship that it has really already died by the time the couple seeks support. But the right form of assistance can repair far more relationships and offer a greater degree of hope than the divorce statistics would suggest. Anyone who works with or studies couples is left humbled and awed by the tenacity, resourcefulness, and grit of people who love each other and are determined to make their marriages work. We wrote this book to be a fitting companion for their journey. End quote. That is John Gottman from The 7 Principles for Making Marriage Work. John Gottman is the world's leading researcher on the science of what makes marriage work. He's been studying relationships in his University of Washington Love Lab for decades and has 42 years of longitudinal data on what really makes love work. We'll touch on some of that wisdom in the note. For now, hint, marital friendship. This book is truly fantastic. It's easy to see why over 1 million copies have been sold. If you're going to read just one book on how to optimize your marriage and relationship, make it this one. And check out the Gottman Institute for more resources, workshops, etc. You can even find a Gottman-trained therapist in your area. I've got links to all that stuff in the note. For now, the book is packed with a ton of super helpful mini-tests and exercises and wisdom, and we'll barely scratch the surface in this note. But I'm excited to share a handful of my favorite ideas, and if you're feeling it, I hope you explore further. Little note before we jump in, this is the revised and updated 15-year anniversary edition of the classic book. Gottman says, quote, "Much has changed in the 15-plus years since the arrival of the first edition of the 7 Principles. But one fact has held constant. A romantic and sexual long-term committed relationship with another human remains the greatest gift life can offer. We hope this new edition of the 7 Principles safeguards and strengthens your relationship and helps you add purpose and meaning to the life you build together." All right, so our first big idea, predicting divorce with 91% accuracy. Quote, "Our goal was nothing more ambitious than to uncover the truth about marriage, to finally answer the questions that have puzzled people for so long. Why is marriage so tough at times? Why do some lifelong relationships click while others just tick away like a time bomb? And how can you prevent a marriage from going bad or rescue one that is already in trouble? Thanks to decades of research, these questions can finally be answered. In fact, I can predict with great precision whether a couple will stay happily together or lose their way after listening to them interact for as little as 15 minutes. Over 7 separate studies, my accuracy rate in making such predictions has averaged 91%. In other words, in 91% of the cases where I predicted that a couple's marriage would eventually either fail or succeed, time proved me right. I don't think my success in foretelling divorce earns me any bragging rights because it isn't due to some superhuman perception or intuition. Instead, it rests solely on the science, the decades of data my colleagues and I have accumulated. So let's start with the fact that Dr. Gottman can predict which couples who spend time in his love lab will get divorced with 91% accuracy. 91. After watching them interact for just 15 minutes. How? data, data, and more data. 42 years of data. One of the key points Gottman makes throughout the book is that most marriage therapists rely on opinion when they try to help couples optimize. He relies on rigorous science. Opinion versus science. There's a big difference. The fact is that a lot of the opinion out there just doesn't work, which is why you should choose your therapist wisely. I'd pick from the search engine I linked to in the note for Gottman certified therapists in your area. It's always wise to lean into the science. So let's take a quick look at what we now know about how to make marriages work. Next big idea, the seven principles. Quote, "It soon became apparent that these happy marriages were never perfect unions. Some couples who said they were very satisfied with each other still had significant differences in temperament, interests, and family values. Conflict was not infrequent. They argued, just as the unhappy couple did, over money, jobs, kids, housekeeping, sex, and in-laws. The mystery was how they so adroitly navigated their way through these difficulties and kept their marriages happy and stable. It took studying hundreds of couples to uncover the secrets of these emotionally intelligent marriages. No two marriages are the same, but the more closely my research team and I looked at happy marriages, the more evident it became that they were alike in seven telltale ways. Happily married couples may not be aware that they follow these seven principles, but they all do. Unhappy marriages always come up short in at least one of these seven areas, and usually in many of them. By mastering these seven principles, you can ensure that your own marriage will thrive." End quote. First, rule number one. Just as Abraham Maslow tells us there are no perfect human beings, John Gottman tells us there are no perfect marriages. None, not even one. And your marriage will not be the first. And neither will mine. With that in mind, here's a super quick look at the seven principles for making marriage work. Of course, each has its own chapter in the book. Principle one, enhance your love maps. How well do you know your partner? Thriving couples have a thorough love map of their partner's dreams, values, and essence. Principle two, nurture your fondness and admiration. How much do you really like your partner? Thriving couples nurture a deep sense of fondness and admiration. They cherish one another. Principle number three, turn toward each other instead of away. Happy couples consistently find ways to connect. They are attuning themselves to one another by turning toward each other. Principle number four, let your partner influence you. Happy couples embody a willingness to yield in order to win. They let one another influence each other and don't always need to be domineeringly right. Principle number five, solve your solvable problems. There are two types of problems in any relationship, solvable and perpetual. Surprisingly, 69% are unsolvable. And there are some key practices to resolving the solvable ones. We'll talk about this more in a moment. Principle number six, overcome gridlock. Then, there are the unsolvable problems, the perpetual ones. We need to work to overcome gridlock so these differences that exist in all relationships and form the bulk of what we argue about don't become irreconcilable differences. And finally, principle number seven, create shared meaning. Happy couples embrace the four pillars of shared meaning: rituals of connection, support for each other's roles, shared goals, and shared values and symbols. P.S. Before we jump into a few of these in more detail, I'll make another strong recommendation to get the book. I'll also note that, as into all this optimizing stuff as I am, I initially resisted reading the book. I always prefer to lean into the peak performance, etc. themes, and it was easy to put this one off. Then, as we approached our 9th anniversary and Alexandra's 37th birthday, she was excited for us to invest more energy into our relationship. We have put so much energy into our personal optimization and parenting our 3.5-year-old, and it was time to reinvest more energy into our relationship. So, as a birthday plus anniversary present, I dove into the book and created this note, and created a cool love note that was part of the second principle, and here we are. All that to say, ladies, if your men aren't super excited to jump into this book, be patient. And gentlemen, dive in. The water's warm. It's awesome. Next big idea, cherish your partner. Quote, fondness and admiration are two of the most crucial elements in a rewarding and long-lasting romance. Although happily married couples may feel driven to distraction at times by their partner's personality flaws, they still feel that the person they married is worthy of honor and respect. They cherish each other, which is critical to keeping their sound relationship house intact and preventing betrayal. If fondness and admiration are completely missing, reviving the relationship is impossible. End quote. Cultivating fondness and appreciation. This is principle number two, cherishing your partner. I love that word, cherish. In the grind of everyday life, it's obviously super easy to get all caught up in the details that we forget about all that is truly awesome about our partners, why we fell in love and chose to spend our lives with them in the first place. The antidote? Happy couples keep that fondness and appreciation alive by looking for little things they can appreciate about their partner throughout the day and communicating those little things often. Simple things like, thanks for making the dinner, it was delicious, to thanks for being such a great mom, which happen to be two of my favorites. This chapter also has some great simple exercises that I really enjoyed doing, from simply listing all the things you appreciate about your partner, to remembering and reliving the early days of when you first met and fell in love. And remember that couples that are struggling have a tough time remembering the great beginnings. My favorite was called Cherishing Your Partner. The basic idea, there were dozens of positive qualities listed, from active and adaptable to witty and worthy. Our assignment was to pick the 10 qualities we most appreciated and then write our partner a love note expressing how much we cherish him or her for those qualities. Now, I kind of broke the rules and came up with some of my own, but here's what I came up with. I had your you-ness. Alexander's you-ness, your all-in-ness, your mama goddessness, your love of learning, your dance moves, your willingness to experiment and evolve, your authenticity, your sexiness, your wisdom, and your support of me. And a little special bonus, Alexander says we can share the whole love note. I've got a link to it in the, or from the note. I hope it inspires you to write a note for your partner. This is a really cool exercise. What do you love about your partner? Think about the top 10 things you most adore and take the time to write your love a little love note. Yes, you're busy. And this is important. They'll love it. Let's do it now. Seriously, if you can, take a moment, pause. If you're driving, drive safely. Otherwise, bust out a piece of paper. Write down 10 things, the qualities that you most love in your partner. What are they? Think about it, capture it, write a love note. And seriously, please, all caps, take the time to do this one. If it's the only exercise you ever do from all of these notes, it'll be huge. I promise. Next big idea, turning toward equals a huge love move. Quote, Hollywood has distorted our notions of romance and what makes passion sizzle. Watching Humphrey Bogart gather teary-eyed Ingrid Bergman into his arms may make your heart pound, but real-life romance is fueled by far more humdrum scenes. It is kept alive each time you let your spouse know he or she is valued during the grind of everyday life. In marriage, couples are always making what I call bids for each other's attention, affection, humor, or support. Bids can be as minor as asking for a back rub or as significant as seeking help in carrying the burden when an aging parent is ill. The partner responds to each bid either by turning toward the spouse or turning away. A tendency to turn toward your partner is the basis of trust, emotional connection, passion, and a satisfying sex life. Comical as it may sound, romance is strengthened in the supermarket aisle when your partner asks, "Are we out of butter?" And you answer, "I don't know. Let me go get some just in case," instead of shrugging apathetically. It grows when you know your spouse is having a bad day at work and you take a few seconds out of your schedule to send him an encouraging text. In all of these instances, partners are making a choice to turn toward rather than away. End quote. Turning toward our partner rather than away. This is principle number three. Our partners are always making bids for our attention. Whether we accept that invitation to connect or not is one of the greatest predictors of the longevity of our relationship. Get this. Gottman did a 6-year follow-up study of newlyweds. For those who were still married, the partners responded to each other's bids 86% of the time. For those who got divorced, they only responded 33% of the time. How about you? Note, one of the best ways to wind up on the wrong side of that math is to act like a tech rat constantly plugged into your digital stimulation. Put down your smartphone and engage with your loved ones. Gottman talks about this and says, quote, "In some cases, constantly checking emails, postings, tweets, and text messages can lead to a sort of addiction in which distraction itself becomes a habit." In his book, The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains, Nicholas Carr documents research that indicates self-distraction has become a permanent, unconscious habit for many people. The old cliche of the husband who hides behind the newspaper has been replaced by the spouse of either gender who is tapping out texts, scanning social media, or engrossed in one of those irresistible cell phone games. End quote. Check out our notes on Carr's The Shallows for more. And remember the iPhone effect. I've got a link to that microclass in the note. Simply having your smartphone in sight diminishes the quality of an interaction. Next big idea, solve the solvable problems via good manners. Quote, "By studying intently what these couples did do, I have come up with a new model for resolving conflict in a loving relationship. My fifth principle entails the following steps. 1, soften your startup. 2, learn to make and receive repair attempts. 3, soothe yourself and each other. 4, compromise. 5, process any grievances so that they don't linger." John continues by saying, "Most of these steps take very little training because we all pretty much have these skills already. We just got out of the habit of using them in our most intimate relationship. To a certain degree, my fifth principle comes down to having good manners. It means treating your spouse with the same respect you offered a company. If a guest leaves an umbrella, we say, 'Here, you forgot your umbrella.' We would never think of saying, 'What's wrong with you? You are constantly forgetting things. Be a little more thoughtful, for God's sake. What am I, your slave to go picking up after you?' We are sensitive to the guest's feelings, even if things don't go so well. When a guest spills wine, we say, 'No problem. Would you like another glass?' Not, 'You just ruined my best tablecloth. I can't depend on you to do anything right. I will never invite you to my home again.'" End quote. The fifth principle, how to solve your solvable problems. Get the book for the full breakdown, but know this. If we simply treated our most intimate relationship with the same common courtesy we treat guests to our home, we'd pretty much be there. Seriously, let's do that. Have good manners. Next and final big idea, I love you starts with the I. Quote, "The story of Aaron and Courtney reflects what goes wrong 85% of the time in marriages. If you consider yourself inadequate, you are always on the lookout for what is not there in yourself and your partner. And let's face it, anyone you marry will be lacking in certain desirable qualities. The problem is that we tend to focus on what's missing in our mate and overlook the fine qualities that are there. We take those for granted. If you recognize yourself in the description of the self-critic, the best thing you can do for yourself and your marriage is to work on accepting yourself with all of your flaws. As I look back on my own life, I realize that forgiving myself for all my imperfections has made an immense difference in my role as a husband and father." End quote. That's from the very last section of the book. Alexandra and I shared similar wisdom in the first big idea of our Love 101 class. If we want to optimize our relationship with our partner, we need to start by optimizing our relationship with ourselves. The suggested exercise to make that happen? Thanksgiving. Dr. Gottman encourages us to try to be aware of our tendency to criticize and shift to seeing what's right. Tal Ben-Shahar calls it being a benefit finder rather than a fault finder. Let's forgive ourselves for our imperfections and celebrate all that is awesome in our lives and in our relationship right now as we put in the effort to make our marriages work. That is a quick look at this great book. John Gottman, PhD, is world-renowned for his work on relationship stability and divorce prediction involving the study of emotions, physiology, and communication. He was recently voted one of the top 10 most influential therapists of the past quarter century by the Psychotherapy Networker publication. You can connect with John at gottman.com. That's G-O-T-T-M-A-N.com. If you enjoyed this note, I think you'll also enjoy the notes on Mindsight, Emotional Intelligence, The Shallows, and Love. Now, let's enjoy some great quotes from their sidebar and wrap it up. These are all from John. He tells us, "I often think that if fitness buffs spent just 10% of their weekly workout time, say 20 minutes a day, working on their marriage instead of their bodies, they would get three times the health benefits they derive from exercise class or the treadmill." That's crazy. "I can predict whether a couple will divorce after watching and listening to them for just 15 minutes. That's pretty impressive, and now we know how. "Couples who are demanding in their marriage are more likely to have deeply satisfying unions than those who lower their expectations." Moral of that story, keep your standards high. Go for something great. John tells us, "People who stay married live 4 to 8 years longer than people who don't. More than 80% of the time, it's the wife who brings up sticky marital issues, while the husband tries to avoid discussing them. This isn't a symptom of a troubled marriage. It's true in most happy marriages as well." Might be true in my marriage as well. Next little quote. "At the heart of the seven principles approach is the simple truth that happy marriages are based on a deep friendship. By this, I mean a mutual respect for and enjoyment of each other's company. Couples often ignore each other's emotional needs out of mindlessness, not malice. Despite what many therapists will tell you, you don't have to resolve your major marital conflicts for your marriage to thrive. Your future can be bright even if your disagreements tend to be very negative. The secret is learning the right kind of damage control. And finally, remember, working briefly on your marriage every day will do more for your health and longevity than working out at a health club. The seven principles for making marriage work." What was your favorite idea from this note? Think about it. How can you implement it in your life? And I hope you're inspired to think about and hopefully do the little love letter, top 10 favorite qualities that you most admire and appreciate in your partner. Get on that. And have another awesome day. If you haven't checked out Love 101 yet, check that out. We're already getting ready for Love 102. We will share that next Valentine's Day. For now, have another awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to brianjohnson.me to download more.